How Lucky You Are by Kristin Cusack Lewis. Narrated by Colleen Marlowe. Copyright 2012 by Kristin Cusack Lewis. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Hachette Book Group, Incorporated, and was produced in the year 2013 by Tantor Media, Incorporated, which holds the copyright thereto. Chapter 1. I'm in the dining room, counting place settings, when the doorbell rings. A happy, charming, ladylike clang. It's a sound only an old house could make, which mine is. I inherited it from my grandmother. "That's probably Amy and Mike," I called to Kate, who's sitting in the kitchen. I put down the handful of silverware I was distributing and go to answer the door. I love having people over. My house is a brownstone that I never could have afforded on my own. And while it's not the most extravagant home on the street or the best kept, there is something about it that makes people stop at the bottom of its terracotta steps, their mouths open in lustful longing, ohs. Ivy creeps up the brick facade. Nasturtium spills from the window boxes. Stained glass panels glimmer above the wide oak double doors. To any passing stranger, it looks just like home. I turn the brass doorknob and swing open the heavy door. "Hello," I sing in three syllables, the way that I'm apt to do when greeting house guests. Amy is my other closest friend. I hold my arms out for a hug and say hello to her husband as I wrap my arms around her. "It's so good to see you. Kate's already here." As we walk back into the kitchen, I glimpse Kate sitting on one of the bar stools at the center island, picking a piece of Roquefort off of the cheese plate I put together an hour ago. She hears us coming. Amy's voice is always two notches louder than it needs to be, and bubbly and eager, like when she was a cheerleader in high school. But instead of turning her head to acknowledge us and say hello, Kate waits, daintily licking a crumb from her finger. This is not unusual. My best friend is a bit of a princess. She's accustomed to having people come to her. Amy walks beside me, telling me how Emma, her three-year-old, is going through a phase where she insists on dressing herself. "I've decided to just give in and let her do it," she says. "Today she went to school in purple tights, a Minnie Mouse nightgown, and the patent leather Mary Janes that I bought for her to wear with her Christmas dress." There's no quiet small talk easing in with Amy. Conversations with her are the dive-right-in variety. When Kate and I first met Amy 13 years ago, in the 6 feet of hallway that separated the door of our first post-college apartment from hers, our eyes slid toward each other, silently asking, "Is she for real?" Unbelievably, she is. In all of the years that I've known Amy, I can't remember a single instance when she was surly, moody, or rude. It can get on your nerves. But I suppose that when I crave surly, moody, or rude, I have Kate, who's told me on more than one occasion that she and her husband secretly refer to Amy as the Golden Retriever. When we get to the kitchen, Amy stops mid-sentence, her face lighting up as if she's just stumbled into her own surprise party. "Kate!" she squeals. "No Brendan tonight?" "I'm working," Kate says, smoothing her wool trousers with her hands as she stands to greet them. "Where else would he be?" She hugs Amy hello and half-heartedly holds up a palm to wave to her husband. Mike nods back. While Kate and Amy get along fine, they are nothing alike but friends nonetheless, with me as the link between them, Kate and Mike are barely civil, meeting each other somewhere on the continuum between total indifference and outright contempt. "Why did Amy marry him?" Kate often says when his name comes up. After evenings like this one, when she actually has to share breathing space with him, she can be downright evil. On the phone the next day, she'll denigrate where he's from. What is it, Buffalo? Allentown? Some other horrendous place like that? It's actually Rochester, New York. Or she'll criticize his career. A family doctor? So he asks old people about their bowel movements and takes snot-faced toddlers' temperatures? I don't think that Kate has a right to be as cruel as she can be, but it's true that Mike's become kind of a drag. Whenever he's around, he sulks like he has some thrilling other life that he's missing out on, as if he might be out clubbing with Brazilian supermodels or chasing down Russian spies if only he didn't have to spend time with his wife and her friends. I don't particularly look forward to his company the way that I used to, and to be honest, I've wondered how Amy puts up with it, though I'd never say anything to her. I mean, how do you tell one of your closest girlfriends, particularly one who tends to bounce through her days as if life's one big Broadway musical, that her husband's kind of a dud? I hand Amy a glass of wine and ask Mike what he'd like to drink. "Oh, wait," Amy says, pulling a small box of Crabtree and Evelyn soaps out of her bag and handing